Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Another word is coming down in about 15 minutes. That's the keyword that you enter at the website, KFIAM640.com, for a shot at $1,000. We had it live on the air just about 2 hours ago. Barbara Ferrer making the announcement there will not be a resumption of the LA County indoor masking mandate. It will not happen for now.
You all were going to ignore it anyway, right?
Right. They'll be revisited in about a week. We'll talk about that a bit more in the 5 o'clock hour on KFI.
This is so stupid. It's just like the stupidest time in life, isn't it? Right till the last few years.
The last few years?
The last few years have just been the stupidest era of my life.
The economic news that came out this morning, and people are paying more attention to this than they used to because of the very horrible and strange economy that we have going with the horrific inflation, that the U.S. economy shrank at an annual 0.9% pace in the second quarter. That is the second quarter in a row with a decline. It follows the first quarter number that had some shrinkage. That was 1.6%. So some people say it's certainly, one article I'm reading, it invites talk of the word recession.
Invites talk.
Invites talk.
Well, we're going to get Dave Packer on, ABC News correspondent, to talk about this matter. Dave, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks, guys.
Well,
go ahead.
No, it just seems like there's only two choices here. Either an economy is expanding or it's shrinking. And if you got two quarters shrinking.
Treading water, maybe, right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, a 0.9% is not exactly a...
Not a big, but it's not expanding.
Although the economy is so big, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah, but this is interesting. What they call slower inventory accumulation. Basically, you could say stores not... getting more inventory in, or some of the, for instance, General Motors can't get parts, they can't get chips, so they're not selling as many cars. They're saying, so this is slower inventory accumulation subtracted 2 percentage points from output in the second quarter. So perhaps it wouldn't have been as bad if we didn't have these supply chain issues. That's one possibility. But people are definitely cutting their spending, especially on food and beverages, things like... gasoline, obviously, because it's so darn expensive. and other things. So, you know, all these things you're cutting, and you're dealing with this inflation where your money is worth less every single day. So economists are saying, are we in a recession or not? If you're sitting at the kitchen table and you're looking at your finances, a lot of folks are saying, well, I feel like I'm in a recession right now.
Yeah, I don't really understand all these experts and politicians just arguing all day about nonsense.
Because the word is stigmatizing, right?
Well, it should be.
You're Biden and the Democrats, they don't want to hear that word floating around.
Well, you know, that's what it is. Well,
There's no doubt there's wiggle room right now for both sides because, you know, the folks who are saying there's no recession and say, yes, we have had two consecutive quarters of negative GDP growth, but in a recession, you don't have 3.2% unemployment at a 50-year low. So that doesn't sound like a recession. Or you don't have inflation so high, which usually indicates that people are spending more and that people are being paid more. So that doesn't seem like a recession. So, I mean, there's definitely wiggle room on both sides.
Economists, though. If they got 9% inflation and their wages are not keeping up with inflation, they have less money. So
and that's all that matters. If you can't pay your bills, if you can't, you know, buy what you need to buy at the end of the month, that's recession. But, you know, put it in perspective. I mean, we have this great, employment. Could you imagine if jobs went downhill? I mean, then the wheels would go off the bus. Then you're talking about it would be really bad, a real recession. Those other strong parts of the economy are kind of what's keeping things going. And the job for the Fed right now is to, yes, like we just did, we raised those interest rates 0.75% twice in a row, but, you know, not to do it too much to send us over the cliff. So that's the real balancing act, and that's where we do need the wonky economists to come in and figure that out.
Could there be a lag period here with the employment numbers if we're seeing, like, Walmart announcing that they did not reach the earnings that they wanted to reach? And we talked about Facebook the other day. Could there be a situation where, you know, the unemployment is coming? It's just got a lag period here.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a lag because you get the numbers from the month before. But usually there's some sort of a curve. You don't all of a sudden see something drop off a cliff. And I don't think we've seen that, you know, in terms of weekly unemployment. We haven't seen that jump up. So I don't think we're going to see that immediately. You know, what's going to happen long term when they raise interest rates and, you know, to kill this inflation drag, and they're going to have to do that. How that's going to affect people, that's a different story, because, or how it's going to affect employers when all of a sudden they have to pay more for money and they can't afford to pay people.
Yeah. I mean, generally big interest rate hikes cause a recession. It's almost by design.
Yeah. And it's almost like the bad medicine to get rid of inflation. That's, you know, the part that they don't want to say out loud. It's just a matter of how much do we hammer down this economy? Do we tap it, or do we hit it with a sledgehammer?
Well, everybody has their own impression about how the economy is doing. And I think if you look at the polling or you just talk to people, everybody thinks we're in a bad state right now because things cost too much.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
inflation is the most painful part of it. I mean, of any economy,
and that's the
part that everybody feels right away.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Dave, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Gentlemen, take care.
All right.
It's Dave Packer, ABC News correspondent for KFI about the economic news. And you're absolutely right. It doesn't matter. I don't care if you call it a recession. That's just what the pundits want to do and what all the inside politics people want to do. But you're right. People are being affected by inflation. And then if this does deepen, they could be affected by unemployment, if that's where this leads. Because I'm looking at some other numbers here, and it says that some businesses are actually, they're cutting back on inventory. That's a sign that they are getting ready for slower demand.
Right. That means they're not selling stuff. All right. You know what this is about? I could sum it up in one guy. You ever hear of Brian Deese?
Yes, that's some Biden guy, right?
He's director of the National Economic Council. So he stood up in the White House briefing room and said, quote, two negative quarters of GDP growth is not the technical definition of recession. Period. Okay?
Okay.
Roll back to 2008. He was working for Hillary Clinton when she was running for president. George W. Bush was in the White House at the time. And
I know what's coming.
He said to reporters, economists have a technical definition of recession, two consecutive quarters of negative growth. So in 2008, two quarters means recession. In 2022, two negative quarters is not recession. He said exactly the opposite.
Well,
depending on who's in power, when he was working for Hillary Clinton, who wanted to replace George Bush, then it's a recession. When he's working for Joe Biden, it's not a recession.
What's this group he's with?
He's director of the National Economic Council.
Okay, because now I'm looking at the National Bureau of Economic Research. I just hit a link, and apparently they claim that it's possible that that measure of two consecutive quarters of negative economic growth called a recession might be outdated.
All of a sudden, just this week.
Just this year, yeah.
Wow.
That may be...
These people are liars.
Well, we're allowed to change as we analyze and research.
Because they're liars. They're goofs, okay? Because this guy, Deese, is going to need another job after Biden passes out one day for good, all right? He's going to need another job. He's going to need another job with a Democratic politician. So he's not going to say we're in recession, right? That's
now, is that a... Okay, because I'm not familiar with that. That's not a government agency, is it? That thing
the
you just
director
described?
Of, well, no, I... Is it
some sort of think tank or some kind
of... Well, he was in the White House briefing room saying that. So I think it's part of the economic advisory boards that any president has.
All right.
They're just liars. Because he figures nobody's going to remember what I said in 2008. He probably doesn't even remember. All he knows is the guy he's working for doesn't want anyone in his employ to say there's a recession. That's all he knows. He needs the paycheck.
All right. When we come back, we'll start with the word you need to possibly win $1,000. It's called the keyword, our inflation vacation contest. And then we'll talk about a poll. Who is getting hit the worst here in California by these horrific gas prices? And this is important because this is a major constituency of Gavin Newsom's party. Coming up next.
John and Ken, KFI.
This story I wanted to do because it really represents to me all that is insane and wrong when it comes to the way California is run and the direction it's headed and the people, some of them who, vote. The recent spike in gasoline prices has taken the greatest financial toll on Black and Latino Californians. Although at least half of the adults in the state reported suffering at least some moderate economic hardship. This is a new poll from the Public Policy Institute of California. You can imagine how people feel about gas prices, but it says that particularly people that live in the Inland Empire in the Central Valley, they have long distances that they have to drive for work and their daily chores, and they are feeling a greater pinch at the pump due to the gas prices. You have to understand what's unique about California. First of all, we have by far the highest gas prices in the country, not just because of, what do they call us, geographically isolated when it comes to the supply, but also because of the taxes and climate change policies.
And in fact, we had somebody from the energy industry on this week who said our gas is $1.65 more than anywhere else in the country, and $1.30 of that are taxes and fees.
Now, how come people don't get that? According to this poll, they still give pretty good approval ratings to Newsom and the legislature. Most of their anger over the high gas prices, they're reserving for Biden and Congress. But as John just pointed out, California is unique and always and has been for years with the extra amount that we slobber on top of a gallon of gas. This never gets through to people.
It's $1.30. It's $1.30 a gallon just in taxes, and you're not getting anything back for it. And we're all paying for it, right? Because it's per gallon.
Do they know anybody in Arizona and Nevada? Do they ever drive there and see that it is a dollar something less? And that's because of California policy? Nothing to do with Biden and Congress? That's a stupid disconnect. Why don't they get that? 55% of adults approve of the legislature. 60% approve of the way Newsom is handling the issues of jobs and the economy. Wow. And you're bitching about the price of gasoline? You don't see the connection? It's because of Newsom and the legislature that you're paying $1.60 more a gallon than they are in other states. Forget about the overall high prices that are associated with the war in Ukraine and other policies. California is uniquely making you pay. And why is that? Oh, so we're the laboratory for climate change.
You know, I'm just looking up on AAA. Gas prices in California, just for regular, $5.66 a gallon. In Alabama, $3.86.
See?
It's $1.80 more here.
One in four Latino adults said the gas prices are causing severe financial hardship. Among black adults, 23% severe financial hardship.
It's not only the gas prices. It's that Gavin Newsom's administration has banned oil, further oil drilling, won't give oil permits.
Well, the poll says two-thirds remain opposed to more offshore oil drilling.
We could do onshore oil drilling.
Yes, we could. Yeah, Kern County, they got lots.
We've got plenty under the ground. We don't need that
mayor on, remember? He says we're ready to go here.
We don't have to fight about the ocean here, all right? Let's just talk about Bakersfield, all right? So let's open Bakersfield up and we could suck billions of gallons of oil from underneath it.
And when all of this is over and gas prices level off, I mean, they've been dropping for a number of days now, but they're still very high, people will still not get this. That we are unique and Sacramento and Newsom are responsible for that extra $1.60 you pay. What, don't you understand that?
Right. And they're responsible for us not drilling for and refining more of our own oil and gas. It's their policies. Yes. But people don't know this. They just don't know. That's what I said yesterday. It's apathy and ignorance. That's the enemy.
And we are the second state in the nation when it comes to gasoline consumption. Only Texas, which doesn't have as many people, but they actually consume more gasoline than California. Probably because they have more people that drive. We have a lot of people in California that are on the buses and stuff like that. But you can see that. I mean, this is going to continue because California wants to continue to be a leader in climate change policy, and they want you to drive less. They're happy that you're paying high prices at the pump. They're not going to tell you that publicly, but privately, they're like, oh, this is good. This is good. We can force people out of their cars, or at least their gas-powered cars.
Here's why people know nothing. Just type this into Google. The average time that a person in the U.S. spends on social media, you know what the answer is?
Was this per day or per week? Or?
Per day. How much time per day does the average person in the U.S. spend on social media?
I'll go with 3 hours.
You're pretty close. Actually, for teenagers, it's 3 hours. People in their 20s. But overall, it's 2 hours and 27 minutes.
Deborah Mark is 9 hours.
I spend way too much time.
If you're spending 2 hours and 27 minutes scrolling through social media nonsense, where is your time to learn why gas prices are $6 a gallon?
Oh,
there is no time for that.
It's Ukraine. It's
no, they don't know anything about Ukraine either.
Well, there are news stories on Twitter.
That's not why people get on Twitter, though.
Well, that's how I get most of my news.
Okay, that's
no, it's how young people get their news these days. I'm telling you.
Well, then why don't people know this stuff?
That's a great question.
I think they scroll past the news. Then you work for a radio station. You have an above average. You work for us. Of course you're going to know news.
I also have an interest in it aside from that.
Right, exactly. So, but I bet you a lot of your buddies aren't on top of the gas prices.
Oh, no, they're always asking me what's going on.
Oh, you're the source.
Yes.
All right. Got more coming up. John and Ken show.
Still to come, one more word. Just one more word today.
The last
word? What will that word be? You won't find out till 5:20. It's the keyword.
Insert our own word.
Did you buy your lottery ticket yet for tomorrow?
No, I'm trying to.
It's now up to $3 trillion.
Three numbers.
Yeah, $3 trillion. It's as much as the federal debt or whatever.
I'm trying to prime myself to stop tonight. I want to stop tonight on the way home.
I can't believe you've been saying this because you have scoffed at this for years.
I have scoffed. Now I think
I actually credit Deborah Mark for softening you on a lot of things.
Thank you, Ken.
You two spend a lot of time together now, and I think that she pulled you over to the next thing you know, you'll be playing with crystals and spreading sage.
Yep, sage.
I'm smoking sage now. You can roll that stuff up and light it. It's not bad.
All right, so I bought my tickets today already.
Now I know what goes on with her.
And I was told good luck by the store clerk. Thank you.
He didn't mean that.
Might be me. I could be the one in 303 million people or persons with lottery numbers to win the prize. So what if I'm more likely to be struck by lightning? So what? I can win $1 billion because you got to be in it to win it.
And you guys believe in miracles.
Yeah. We will also talk about the breaking news this afternoon. The mask mandate will not return in L.A. County. We're taking credit. Why not?
I think so. I think there's been a lot of pushback. I mean, Hilda Solis switched sides. She was the hardest core outside of...
Well, isn't that a real politician, right?
Right, yeah.
To basically not state any public opinion, and then when the decision is made, oh, yeah, I agreed all along.
Sheila Kuehl was the most publicly for it, but, you know, she's completely batty, and she's termed out at the end of the year. She's got nothing to lose.
Exactly.
Hilda Solis, I think, is running, right? She's up for election.
Yes.
Oh, well, there you go.
That explains. It's done. She won.
Oh, she won outright?
She won outright. No, I did look that up the other day. Yeah.
She won more outright. Than 50%. Oh, Jesus.
Well, that district, yeah.
Yeah.
The El Segundo Times assigned three reporters to tell us what really happened with the deadly attack at Peck Park in San Pedro, which broke out gunfire Sunday afternoon.
Boy.
50 gunshots in total.
They really downplayed it. And in fact, there was none of the stories I saw on Sunday night gave any sense that there were 50 gunshots. Did they not know? Police covered it up? Or was this part of, well, let's not stigmatize the gang members?
Well, what they're telling us with this story today is that it was exactly two people who they brought together different Crip sets. They call them Crips as a gang.
Crip sets?
Crips. Yeah, it was like, it sounds like a game of chess. Yeah, that's what I thought of too. It's like a game.
Crip
a board game. Crip
yeah,
sets.
Yeah, you know, it'd be a good birthday gift. Get him a Crip set.
So apparently two of the people that came for the game had decided that they were going to take each other on. What they're trying to say in the article is everybody was there to have a nice time, to enjoy a softball game on a Sunday afternoon, to put aside any differences, but these two came there hell-bent on settling something. And the shooting spilled over into the parking lot above the softball field. Some people were shot while trying to run away. More than 50 shell casings were recovered from three scenes. They've ruled out rifles and automatic weapons as possible weapons used during the shooting. Now, they still haven't arrested anybody.
Were these two shooting at each other, or did they were just shooting wildly all over the place?
I have a feeling they meant to shoot at each other, but in the chaos, as one was running and probably hiding, and here's the part I have to get to. How many people were there versus how many people that were supposed to be there? What was the number in the article here? I'm scrolling through it. I can't see it. Here,
well, one guy... Oh, get this.
Oh, there were only 100 people were permitted for the game. There was 500 who tried to flee the shooting. Think about that. For an event that was permitted for 100 people, 500 apparently showed up.
Right, but nobody enforces that sort of thing.
No.
I don't know why, if you're in San Pedro, you're giving permits to Compton gang members. Listen to this quote. This guy's name is Lowdown. Andre Christian, but his nickname is Lowdown. So here's what Low had to say. He was having a conversation with two other people. After the conversation, you just heard gunfire, pop, pop. And then when it got going on, you'd thought we was in Vietnam.
Hmm.
Said Lowdown.
He said he looked up to see a man shot while trying to flee in a car and then crashed. That man died. They have identified the two men that died. Could they have been the only shooters? Possibly? Or we don't know that yet.
Well, two of the dead was Tashman Williams and
Compton.
And Carlisle Phillips. And the two of them were former gang members.
Yes.
But they were involved in different activities, which led to gang activities. Was the way it was described. Boy, everybody's talking in circles now, right? They were involved in different activities, which led to gang activities. You mean they were criminals? And then they joined a criminal organization. Is that what you're telling me? What do you mean? Everything, it's like groups of folks that Newsom used to describe gangs. Well, they were involved in different activities. It's all this windy verbiage to avoid saying what they are.
Oh, look, they talked to the woman. We played the audio the other day from, I think it was Channel 5. Her name is Monica Howard, 57. She said the men who were killed went to school with her son, and she thought of herself as their adopted mother. Remember, she was interviewed, and what she was saying, that one of the men that was killed was not her son, but somebody that I considered my son. She's the one that admitted she was a gang member, too.
She said it was her adopted son, but it wasn't her adopted son.
She just considered him to be, like...
Well, that's not legal.
You know how some people have second moms that they, you know, maybe a neighborhood mom that they were close to? No, you didn't have that? Oh.
No, my neighborhood moms, you don't want to get near.
Yeah, like the
Williams. I had a lot of crazy people in my neighborhood.
The two dead guys, it says here, were previously involved in different activities which led to gang activities.
Yeah, right. How do you decode that, huh?
He claims that they had families of their own and had changed their life.
Mm-hmm.
It's the pressure of, if you live in this neighborhood, then you're from this neighborhood. You had to participate in some fashion in order to live, pretty much. Both men had moved to Vegas several years ago, were visiting California at the time of their deaths. So what's not stated here, were they shooters or were they just people trying to flee? I'm not getting that, are you?
Just that they're dead.
Yes. Although we had the one witness who said he saw one guy shot as he was trying to flee in his car, and he crashed it, and that's obviously one of the two dead men, but we don't know if he was a shooter or just somebody that was there that caught in the crossfire. Plus, there were three men and four women.
A lot of gang killings are never solved because nobody wants to talk, because if you talk, you'll get killed.
Yeah, they found the guns.
The police can't protect you, so why are you going to snitch? Yeah. You're not.
And they don't tell us exactly how many guns they recovered from the scene. Shell casings were recovered from four handguns believed to have been involved. Ah, all right. Well, there's more than two shooters then if there's four. Unless one guy was double barreling and shooting with both.
Yeah, I just don't trust the coverage. It's taken a long time just to squeeze out these little bits here. And clearly there's a lot more to learn. But I realize now we are in the age of censorship. We are in the age of just whitewashing stuff. Yeah. Everything is going to be euphemisms. Everyone is. It's going to be just complicated, windy verbiage, where you have to look real hard to try to decode what they're telling you, because it's about equity and inclusion.
They had that little town hall meeting at the park the other night. People were complaining that that's just not a safe place, and they didn't have enough security for this event. The acting Parks and Recreation Department superintendent, Deanne Dedman, said they had a permit and they had insurance, but they were only supposed to have 100 people there. As I mentioned, 500 people were trying to flee. The cops said that they checked on it once, found it to be peaceful, but officers were not assigned to actually monitor the game.
Really? You got 500 people when you were expecting 100. It's gang members playing each other. You don't know who's in the audience, and you don't keep a few cops there?
They canceled all permits for the rest of the summer. They punished everybody. How about that?
Well, what's going to stop anybody without a permit?
I don't know.
I love this
Does
permit idea.
Come to the park the and
permit,
check?
The permit is just there for the city to make some money. That's the only purpose. It doesn't mean anything.
All right, we got more coming up.
John and Ken, KFI.
The Moist Line returns tomorrow during the 5 o'clock hour, so you can still leave a message. It might make the cut. Use the iHeartRadio app, a little microphone there. It helps you leave a message directly. Or you can call up the old toll-free number, 1-877-MOIST-86, 1-877-664-7886. Apparently, Amazon announced a $2 billion loss for the second straight quarter. Apple profits fall 11% due to supply chain problems and COVID lockdowns in China. We're continuing to get numbers from companies, and clearly between inflation and continued supply chain problems, some of them are not good for some of the large companies in the country. We'll talk about the decision to not reimpose the indoor mask mandate in LA County. Coming up after the news at 5 o'clock. This story, which we were just talking about, two of the bigger stories this week locally have been the shooting at the park in San Pedro, which we just talked about. And, of course, the continuing drama that is the 6th Street Bridge in downtown Los Angeles. Yesterday, a Los Angeles City Council committee, you knew this was coming, recommended that they approve $706,000 to remove graffiti.
Can you believe this?
Already, after the, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's been open?
They opened it up.
July 10th. It's been 2 weeks and a couple of days.
It's been immediately, extensively defaced, and now we're going to spend $700,000 in tax money to clean it up. Yep. This is the city council. This is so crazy and disrespectful of our money.
It's a $600 million bridge.
We poured in, yeah. We poured in all that money for the bridge. And so, is this life? Are they going to keep spraying and vandalizing the bridge, and we're going to keep paying to clean it up?
The one who voted no was Councilman John Lee from the Valley. This was a Public Works Committee 3-1 vote.
They don't care.
Said they've already spent too much money on this bridge. Other districts don't get this kind of funding. That was his objection.
Well, they got to clean up the graffiti, right? And that's going to cost money. But that's a real sizable kick in the gut. So what are they going to do to stop this? They've got to police that bridge. They've got to arrest people and put them in jail.
They are thinking about closing the bridge to cars on weekends, is what I'm reading.
Well, why'd
weekends
you build
seems to
it?
Be where the craziest things happen,
enforce the law.
Well, that would stop the little shows that people perform with their cars, but people still walk up there and paint spray paint.
By the way, they could take their shows anywhere in the city.
Right, because right now, it's the hot new toy.
It is hot now, but I'm saying, why don't you put these guys in jail so they don't do this?
Oh, street takeovers are happening all over Southern
right,
California
so that's
streets.
Why. Well, that's my whole point.
Not in some of the finer neighborhoods, but they're happening.
If they kept getting thrown in jail, kept getting arrested, you wear them out. You wear them down, so it gets to be too much trouble.
Yeah, we're in an era of no consequences, so...
So
that's not likely to
happen.
We're
just going to build them.
Plus, these offenses are low-level, non-violent.
Expensive, though.
They don't really
$700,000 just for spray paint. Wow.
Oh, they claim that's going to be a year's worth.
Oh, no, it won't.
The funds would last for about a year of service, according to a staff report.
If they don't get the police arresting these guys, it's going to cost way more than that.
Oh, yeah, because if you paint over the graffiti, they'll just come back and do more. That'll be funny.
I wonder why they think it's a year. So how often do they think they're going to have to clean up the graffiti?
I don't know what it costs each time to clean. I don't know how much there is so far.
That'd be an interesting formula. Is like, so why is it $700,000?
Well, mysteriously,
is that to
it
clean
also
it up 30 times or 10 times or what? Well, how bad is it going to be?
To provide other maintenance on the bridge, it says. So the money is for not just the graffiti, but...
Maintenance?
Other maintenance.
They just built it. Yeah. Who's getting the contract, too, for this?
Right.
Bad
news.
It's just so frustrating. It really is awful.
Also, the L.A. County Board of Supervisors, which did nothing... the other day to stop Barbara Ferrer from perhaps reimposing the indoor mask mandate, which now is not going to happen. They did two other things. One of them was they're moving forward with their plan to have the power to remove the sheriff. Remember we talked about that?
They're going to put it on the ballot.
They went to the next step to put it on the ballot for LA County voters to give them the power to remove an elected sheriff from office. Which is absurd, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Lemmings in L.A. County give them what they want, because I'm sure they'll word it nicely.
It's about removing Villanueva.
It is. There's just one person they want out. But, he's up for re-election, so. They also voted that you don't have to be a citizen to get a job in L.A. County. They voted unanimously, didn't even talk about it, to allow L.A. County to hire non-citizens.
The county itself.
That's right. A county job. Right. Unless, because of federal or state law, you have to be a citizen for the type of position. In other words, any applicant for the LA County Sheriff's Department or peace officers hired by the county does have to be a U.S. citizen, or but right. many other jobs that they have.
Well, the dam really broke, though, didn't it? I mean, this is ultra anything goes.
I was a bit surprised. I thought they were already doing this.
Probably they were, but now they formalized it. Because I'm sure they never checked anybody's citizenship, so anybody who showed up and could do the job, they would hire.
Right.
I mean, this crowd doesn't check. This crowd doesn't believe there ought to be citizenship. They don't think nations should exist.
Yeah, apparently they asked for a report on this, and it came back that the board can waive citizenship requirements for its workforce unless state or federal law explicitly imposes a requirement. So apparently there's a number of county jobs that don't conflict with any state or federal law.
Excellent.
And that's probably what they're...
Nothing matters.
About, as of 2018, 880,000 non-citizens have made LA County their home. Not that I understand or believe that number, but that's the last time they came out with a number. It's nearly 1 million people in LA County that are
illegal aliens?
Yes, I guess so, because they don't have any status as visitors.
God, I've read like 2 million, but nobody really knows how to count this stuff, and it's
undercounted.
In woke world, they intentionally undercount it.
Right. Oh, Hilda Solis led the charge. Citizenship presents barriers to count the employment for qualified people.
Barriers? Can you imagine?
Barriers.
You imagine any other country? Some two-bit politician in any other country saying that citizenship creates barriers.
All right. God. We got the 5 o'clock hour here. We'll begin with the big story of the day, which is there will not be a return of the indoor mask mandate in L.A. County.
John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.